好，今天呢是两个第一啊。第一是什么？第一次这个有这个一个人站在我旁边，当我讲到的时候啊。这个第二个第一呢，是我今天有水，这个可以喝了啊，享受讲员的待遇啊。这个，我们这个现在开始翻译的目的呢，是为了帮助我们当中就是听不懂我讲话的人。那我们当中有两个听不懂我讲话。
你需要翻译吗？
短一点，就是
这段开个场白，先不要翻译好了。那一位是 Daniel 啊，一位是袁波波啊，那个，那今天呢，这个可能帮不了袁波波啊，因为我讲话有湖北口音啊。那我们这个刚才我在吃饭的时候呢，我就问一下穆文，我说呀，穆文，你翻译准备好了没有？穆文很自信的毫不犹豫的回答我说准备好了。我听完这句话其实很惊讶啊，因为呢我讲话是没有讲稿的啊，然后我跟他讲的时候，我只跟他说过三句话，我说我会讲三点内容，第一、第二、第三是什么啊？但他就很有自信说这个可以翻译的好啊，所以这个我们也为他祷告啊，给他智慧。好，那我们开始，我们再先有短简短的时间祷告。亲爱的主，我们感谢赞美你，主，我们一起来到你的面前敬拜你。主啊，愿主你悦纳我们的敬拜。主，我实在也是不配来到你的面前，主啊，传讲主你的话语。主啊，愿主你洁净我所说的，愿你的话语能够深入每一个人的心中，主啊，愿你的话语成为我们生命的粮。主，我们也把穆文弟兄交在主你的手中，主啊，也求主你也赐给他智慧，赐给他当说的话语。我们谢谢你，我们这样祷告感谢，奉耶稣基督的名。好，我们今天是接着讲圣经启示录别给耶稣写给别加摩教会的书信。
Today we will continue to talk aboutthe letters to Pergamon church in Revelations.
让我们来一起把这段经文读一下。
Let's read this verse.
启示录第二章十二节。
Revelations chapter 2 verse 12.
大家翻到了吗？从十二节开始念到260页，这本圣经260页。启示录第二章十二节，读到17节。
From verse 12 to verse 17.
我们开始吧。你要写信给别加摩教会的使者，说那有两刃利剑的，说。我知道你的居所就是有撒旦座位之处，当我忠心的见证人安提帕在你们中间没住地方被杀之时，你还坚守我的名，没有弃绝我的道。然而有几件事我要责备你，因为在你那里有人服从了巴兰的教训，这巴兰曾教导巴勒将绊脚石放在以色列人面前，叫他们吃祭偶像之物，行奸淫的事。你那里也有人照样服从了尼哥拉一党人的教训，所以你当悔改，若不悔改，我就快临到你那里，用我口中的剑攻击他们。圣灵向众教会所说的话，
凡有耳的就应当听。
得胜的，我必将那隐藏的玛纳赐给他，并赐他一块白石，
写上自己的姓名。
除了那领受的以外，没有人能认识。
Verse 12. To the angel of the church in Pergamum, write: These are the words of him who has the sharp, double-edged sword.I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put unto death in your city, where Satan lives. Verse 14. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immorality. Verse 15. Likewise, you have also those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Verse 16. Repent therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it.
这是神借着约翰写给比耶加摩教会的一封书信。
This is the Lord using John, to write the letter to the church in Pergamum.
比耶加摩在哪里呢？现在
？Where is Pergamum?
现在在土耳其。
Present day, it's in Turkey.
Yeah, 在一座山上，它是山上的一座城啊。在当时呢，是叫易守难攻，因为它在山上嘛，是吧？这个敌人。
It's a mountainous city. It's a city in a mountain in the mountains. Hard to defend, easy to defend, hard to attack.
那在这个城里面呢，有很多的偶像在当时。
There are many idols in this city.
那当时著名的呢，有几座大的神庙啊，一座是宙斯，希腊神里面的宙斯神的神庙。
There are some notable temples in the city at the time.Including that of Zeus.
还有一座酒神的神庙。
And a temple for the god of wine.
还有一座是女神，也是希腊里面的女神神庙。
And another temple for Athena.
还有呢，还有一个人的庙，那就是当时的皇帝的庙，就是罗马皇帝的庙。
And also another temple for a normal man, the...Emperor of Rome at the time.
那当时的基督徒在比耶加摩这个地方，基督徒呢就有非常大的压力，因为他们周围全部是偶像所包围。
So the Christians in Pergamum at the time faced a lot of pressures from the idols.
那他们也面临着什么呢？面临着这个政府的逼迫。
And they also faced the crackdown from the government.
那这里面有提到说啊，有耶稣在每一封书信里基本上是先什么？先表扬一个教会，然后呢开始责备，是吧？
The Lord usually in his letters, first give compliments to the church and then, give criticisms.
那这里说到这个别加摩教会呢，是有撒旦居所之处。撒旦座位之处。
It says here that Satan lives in Pergamum.
那这个撒旦座位是什么意思呢？就有很多不同的解释在圣经这个学者当中啊。
There are many different interpretations of this.
那我想我不知道哪一种解释是这个是正确的或者是好的，但是我知道撒旦座位它的意思就是什么呢？是有撒旦掌权的地方。
We don't know the exact correct interpretation, but we know that where Satan is where his power is strongest.
那这里有一种就是字面意思啊，叫撒旦座位。是什么意思呢？就是宙斯庙在当时它那个形状就像一个座位。
Satan has a throne in where he lives. So the temple of Zeus at the time looks like Satan's throne.
那这个座位已经搬到哪里去了呢？搬到现在的德国的柏林，有一个别加摩博物馆在柏林。
So this throne is now moved to Berlin, Germany, in a museum there.
那这里说我忠心的见证人安提帕呀，在你们中间被杀的时候，你们还坚守我的名啊。那这个安提帕是谁呢？
It says in verse 13.I know where you live, where Satan has his throne, yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness. So who is Antipas?
圣经上面没有别的记载。
There are no other records of Antipas in the Bible.
那历史上也没有记载。
No historical records either.
但是我们发现什么？神知道这个人的名字。
But we found that God knows Antipas.
这个是给我们一点启示啊。安提帕不是一个名人，没有人知道他，几乎我想可能只有当地教会的人认识他。
This is a surprising revelation because only the people in Pergamum at the time know him.
但是神却把他的名字提出来了。
But God raised his name.
那我们是希望人能够记住我们的名字呢，还是神记住我们的名字？
So do we want people to remember our names or God to remember our name?
在很多年前呢，有一个去非洲啊，去传道的一个宣教士。
Many years ago, there is a missionary, who traveled to Africa.
经过很多年以后呢，他就退休了，然后就要回到美国。
Years later, he retired and returned to the United States.
当他坐着船回到美国的时候啊，当他下船的时候，发现呢，有一大群人在岸上面迎接一个很有名的一个电影明星。当时。
After he got off the ship, en route to the United States, he was surprised to find, the big crowds, waiting in the dock.
可是他却没有一个人去接他。
But no one was there to wait for him.
他就觉得很凄凉。
He was lonely.
他心里想，神啊，我为你做了这么多年的工啊，竟然没有人来欢迎我回家。
He thinks to himself that he's done so much work for the Lord, but when he comes home, there's no one, waiting for him.
突然之间，神就跟他说了一句话。
Suddenly, a God's voice in his head said,
神说啊，我说，孩子啊，你现在还没有回家。等到将来你回家的时候，我会派众天使来欢迎你，来迎接你。
God replied to him that you haven't gone home. When you really are home, I will send angels to you.
那这个仆人就突然之间明白过来了，神的荣耀比人给他的荣耀要更好。
And so this missionary finally realized that.God's glory is more important than, people's.
几年前呢，我有一种类似的经历。
A couple years ago, I had a similar experience.
那是08年我去台湾工作的时候。
In 2008, when I went to Taiwan.
那当时我可以说，我应该算是第一批拿着中国护照去台湾工作的人。
At the time, I was.One of the first who held a Chinese passport, who went to Taiwan to work.
那我们下了飞机呢，我们就去吃饭，去远东饭店吃饭。
So after we got off the plane, we went to eat.
那吃完饭以后，我就从二楼就下楼梯走到大厅。
After we finished, I walked down the stairs.
那我一站在那个大厅的时候呢，我就看见对面有二十几个人。朝着我冲过来。
I saw about 20 people just coming at me.
手里拿着笔和纸。
With
拿着笔和本子。
Pen and paper.
我心想，台湾人民对我太热情了吧。
You thought the people of Taiwan must love, me.
突然之间，我发现他们的眼光不对。
And then I noticed that they're really not coming to me.
然后我就转头一看。
And then I turned my head.
我发现刘德华站在我旁边。那我们 Andy Lau 那这个 Antipas 实际上是给我们一个提醒，我们是要人的荣耀还是要神给我们的荣耀。
Antipas again reminds us, do we want to have people's glory or God's glory?
那这里说安提帕被杀的时候啊，你还坚守我的名，说明这个其他的还有一些基督徒还活着。当时， 还有当时安提帕死了以后还有一群基督徒还活着见证、
When Antipas died, there are still many Christians who are alive.
他们还坚守耶稣的名。
They were still faithful to God.
那我们可以想象一下当时的环境啊。
We can think of the situation at the time.
很可能是什么一个罗马总督来了。
Very likely a Rome viceroy came.
然后就把这一群基督徒呢就召集过来，这些所有城里的安这个别加摩的人都叫来。
And gathered all the Christians here.
然后就问他们，你们承不承认凯撒是主？
And then asked them, do you think Caesar is the Lord?
如果不说凯撒是主，就把他杀掉。
If you don't believe that Caesar is the Lord, you will be killed.
很可能那个总督就把安提帕给叫出来了，问他，你说是凯撒是主还是耶稣是主？
Most likely, the viceroy from Rome.Picked Antipas and asked him.
那安提帕呢？他是神忠心的见证人。他说，耶稣是主。
And Antipas, because he's so faithful, said,
"The
Lord is the God."
那他就被杀了。
And so he was killed.
但是剩下的人呢？继续没有一个人教会的人承认凯撒是主。
None of the other Christians, accepted that Caesar was the Lord.
那耶稣就是在这里表扬他们说你们坚守我的名、没有弃绝我的道。
So God complimented them that they were faithful to him.
那对于我们来说有什么启示呢、
What does this have to do with us?
我们现在呀好像为主殉道的机会不多啊，在美国应该是是不是、为主殉道因为承认主的名被杀的这种可能性还没有，现在还没有。
Currently in the United States, believing in God is has no consequences.
但是我们也有机会要坚守主的名，主的道。
But we must also defend God.
那接下来再讲到这个巴兰的教训。
Next, we'll talk about Balaam's lesson.
圣经里面、有两个地方啊讲到了动物啊会说话。
There are two places in the Bible where they talked about how when animals can talk.
是说人话。
And the animals are talking human language.
第一个是在伊甸园里蛇向夏娃说话。
The first example is in Genesis when the serpent is talking.
那还有一个呢是巴兰的女子对他说话。
And the other instance is the donkey from Balaam also talking human language.
那我就简单的把这个巴兰的故事讲一下。
So I'll share with you my story of Balaam.
当时神要带领以色列人呢进迦南地，在还没有过约旦河之前呢，就驻扎在旷野。
At the time, God was leading the Israelites.
那当时有摩亚人呢就看见了以色列人非常的多就害怕。
And then at the time the Moab people saw the Israelites and they were scared of the Israelites.
所以摩亚王呢就想找一个人啊去诅咒以色列人，因为他听说当时有一个先知啊诅咒谁谁就倒霉，祝福谁呢谁就得祝福。
So the Moab king wanted to find someone to curse the Israelites.
那这个人是谁呢？就是巴兰。
So who is this person? This person is Balaam.
他就派人，摩亚王呢就派人呢去把，就去要把这个先知呢，接过来呢，说诅咒以色列人的话。
The Moab king sent his messengers to find this man who will curse the Israelites.
那这个派去的人呢，就说啊，只要你去说诅咒的话呢，我们。就要给你，我摩亚王呢就要给你金，给你银，给你财宝。
The messenger said to him, "If you said something cursing the Israelites, we'll give you all the riches."
如果你们去看圣经民数记22章啊，你就发现呢，他讲的话非常有道理。这个先知他怎么说呢？他说啊，耶和华叫我说什么，我就说什么。
If you go to Numbers chapter 22, you will find this story.
这话听起来是不是觉得这个人还挺啊，很这个什么，很敬畏神，是不是？还很虔诚，很敬畏神啊，对不对？
Yeah, you can tell this person loves God.
但是圣经我们可以看出他心里什么，心里还是爱钱爱财。
But deep in his heart, he still loves the riches.
然后耶和华就跟他说啊，你不可以跟他们去，也不可以说诅咒以色列人的话。
The Lord said to him, "You cannot curse the Israelites."
那他就去跟那些摩亚王的手下说啊，耶和华不让我说，不让我说诅咒的话。你就算给我一满屋子的金和银啊，我也不能说啊。嗯。
He went to the Moab king and said he refused to curse the Israelites, no matter how much you give me.
这话呢说的也很好听啊。
It sounds great.
好了，最后摩押王呢就请了第二次去，他就去了。
So the Moab king asked him again, and this time he went.
那是耶和华说让他去的，说你只要说我让你说的话，那你就去。嗯。
Because God said, if you say what I say, then you can go.
结果在半路上呢，天使就把他拦住了。嗯。
And midway there, angel arrived to block him.
想要杀巴兰。
Because the angel wants to kill Balaam.
幸好是驴子呢救了他。
Luckily, his donkey saved Balaam.
后来呢，神还是让他去了，去摩押王那里去。
Ultimately, God still let Balaam to go to the Moab.
他心里想呢，说诅咒的话，可是他每次一讲呢，讲出来的话就祝福的话。
He wanted to say the things that cursed the Israelites, but when he opens his mouth.He said good things about Israel.
他讲了四次祝福的话。
He said the good things four times.
那后来他就摩押王一看，他帮不了忙，就让他回去了。嗯。
The Moab king didn't think he was going to help them anymore, so he led Balaam back.
但是故事呢，在这里没有结束。嗯。
But the story doesn't end here.
因为他没有讲诅咒的话，所以他得不得到了钱呢？得不到，是不是？
Because he didn't say the things that cursed the Israelites, he didn't receive his riches.
所以他又想了个办法。
So he thought of another idea.
他就跟巴勒讲啊，把摩亚人的美女啊、女子啊送到以色列人那去。
再说一遍。
把摩亚的女子送到以色列人那里去。
So he talked to Balak, and Balak suggest that he send the Moab women to Israel.
这让以色列人呢和摩押女子呢行奸淫，吃什么偶像的祭物。
So the Moab women in Israel can commit adultery and eat the sacrifices of the idols.
那以色列人就开始敬拜摩押人的神。
So now,
以色列人
the Israelites will now.
开始敬拜，摩亚假神啊。
Worship the fake idols。
对，那这就叫什么呢？巴兰把绊脚石放在以色列人脚前，让以色列人跌倒。
Balaam
make them fall。
Make them fall。
那神大怒，就开始有瘟疫在他们当中。
So the Lord was angry, and now there is a disease among them.
那这里说呀，巴兰的教训里面啊，有两样东西，一样是什么呢？吃祭偶像之物，一样是行奸淫的事。
The lessons of Balaam is two parts. Number one is committing adultery, and number two is eating the sacrifices of the idols.
那对我们来说是什么意思呢？有它的属灵的意思是这样的。
What does it mean to us spiritually?
吃祭偶像之物的意思就是与世俗联合。
Eating these sacrifices of the idols means talking to secular people.
Live the lives of
secular people.
为了眼前的好处。
for the immediate benefits.
忘掉了永恒的价值。
Forgetting the long values.
其实我们现在就面临着这样的问题，我们基督徒在这个世界上面。
To us as Christians, we're facing this crisis.
我们会常常听到一些让我们不知道是对和错的一些说法。
We will many times hear right or wrongs.
比如说啊，同性恋的事。
Such as same-sex marriage.
那圣经里面呢有明说，不管是旧约还是新约，都说同性恋是罪。
And the Bible clearly stated that same-sex marriage is a sin.
但是呢，我们现在所在的这个世界却说什么？要合法。
But the modern world says it's legal.
那有些人就会随从世俗的观念。
So many people will believe in the secular views.
这就叫吃鸡偶像之物，与世俗联合。
This is called eating the sacrifices of the idols.
我们基督徒记住，我们的价值标准是圣经，是神的话。
We have to remember to us as Christians, our values are from the Bible.
那现在世上的观点，世上的价值标准都是自己认为是对的，就是对的。
The opinions of the modern world is that if I believe I'm right, I'm right.
你去说你的，我说我的，我们这个互不干扰。
You say what you say, I say what I say. We don't interfere.
没有绝对真理在这个世上。
There's no truth.
所以我们基督徒要非常警醒，我们不可以随从世俗的观念。
So we must be alert and not fall into the secular views.
还有一个例子啊，我们以前有听说过，在美国有什么有假结婚，是不是？为了移民啊。
Before we heard that people do fake marriages here for immigration.
但是现在我们听到的更多的是假结婚。我刚才说是假结婚，对不对？现在我们听到的更多的是假离婚。
Now we hear more about fake divorces.
大家可能前不久听过那个新闻，上海那个民政局那个结婚的地方啊，排长队，离婚的地方啊，排长队啊。
You might have heard in Shanghai, the.
为什么呢？因为如果你不离婚，你就不能买一套房子。
Because if you don't divorce, you can't buy a house.
所以很多人呢，为了这个躲避这个政策呢，我们两个人先离，假离，然后买了房子，我们再结婚。我们先假装离婚，然后我们再离婚，再结婚。
We do fake divorce first and then remarry.
据说啊，当时啊，排长队一直排到门外呀，到了下班时间都没有，队伍都还没有减少。
There were long lines to divorce.
因为有一个时间限制，好像在某天之前必须得离婚，要不然就没有机会买房子了。
Because there's a deadline.
后来工作人员不得不说，请你们先回去，明天再来啊。因为离婚的人比旁边结婚证的人还要多啊。
Because there are more people divorcing than marrying.
那这就是一种什么？谁这个为了眼前的利益？
This is for the immediate benefits before our eyes.
忘记了什么永恒的价值。
Forgetting the long-term views, values.
所以我们基督徒要时刻警醒，我们不可以随从这世俗的潮流。
We must not fall prey to the secular views.
不可吃祭偶像之物。
Refuse to eat the sacrifices of the idols.
第二点，行奸淫的事。
Committing adultery.
这是什么意思呢？
What does that mean?
行奸淫啊，在属灵的意思上更多的是指啊，我们放纵肉体的情欲。
Adultery means indulgence of the flesh.
我的肉体喜欢喝酒，我就满足它。
My flesh says I need to drink more wine, so I satisfy that.
我的肉体喜欢赌博，我就满足它。
My flesh says I want to gamble, so I have to satisfy that.
我的肉体喜欢骄傲，我就满足它。
My flesh says I need to be proud, so I'm proud.
我的肉体喜欢嫉妒，我就满足它。
My body is prone to jealousy, so I'm jealous.
这样就都叫行奸淫的事。
All of this can be considered as committing adultery.
如果你放纵自己的情欲，放纵自己的情欲，自己想怎么样就怎么样。
If you indulge in those things and do whatever you want,
这都是神不喜悦的事。
This is not what makes God happy.
所以我们要时刻记得巴兰的教训是什么。
So we have to always remember what the lessons of Balaam is.
不要随从世俗，不要放纵自己的情欲。
No falling prey to secular views and committing adultery.
那第二个教训是什么呢？是尼哥拉一党人的教训。
The next lesson is from the Nicolaitans.
那尼哥拉一党教训，我们以前在以弗所书信里面有讲到过啊，大家还记得吗？
We've talked about the Nicolaitans in Ephesians before.
尼格拉这个字翻译出来意思就是啥？骑在百姓头上的人，嗯。骑在尼格拉的意思。
Nicolaitans means riding on the backs of the people.
什么意思呢？就是教会里面有一小群人呐、啊，很特别。
So it means that there are people in the church.A small section that are special.
只有他们有神的装备。
Only they have God's equipment.
只有他们能够祷告。
Only they can pray.
或者说只有他们祷告才有用。
Or only when they pray, it works.
或者说只有他们讲的道才是纯正的。
Or the messages from them are real.
那这就叫做尼格拉一党的人。
And this is what, these are the Nicolaitans.
不光是指啊，天主教。
Not only Catholicism.
对，我们知道天主教里面是有一个很严格的这个体制，叫圣品体制，从上到下的那个圣品阶级。
We know that in Catholicism, there's a strict hierarchy.
你要悔改，你要祷告，要向谁？向神父祷告，神父去悔改。
If you want to repent, you have to repent to the Father.
那基督教里面有没有尼格拉一党的人呢？我们基督教里面
，Do we have Nicolaitans in Christianity?
也有，对不对？按照这个定义，嗯。
We also have them.
我们是不是常常会说，哎呀，某某人祷告，要请某某人祷告才行，嗯。
We always say, oh, we have to get a specific person to pray.
对，我们要请某某牧师去这个，去证婚才可以。
Specific speaker to supervise marriages.
但是圣经是教导我们的，我们每一个人都有向神祷告的权利，我们每一个人都可以坦然无惧的来到神面前与神说话。
But the Bible says, anyone can come before Him and pray.
我们每一个人都可以在教会里服侍。
Everyone can serve the Lord.
并不是只有少数人才可以服侍神。
Not just the few.
在旧约里面是只有少数人，但是在新约里面，我们已经是每一个人都可以了。
In the Old Testament, that might be true, but in the New Testament, anyone can serve the Lord.
而且我们每一个基督徒啊，都有责任、有义务去服侍神。
Every single Christian has the responsibility to serve Him.
请记住，我们来教会聚会呀、啊，不是为了，只是来听道。
Please remember that the purpose of coming to church is not just listen to the message.
教会里面没有平信徒。教会里面没有所谓的普通信徒。
There's no normal believer.
你们来教会来敬拜，不是。来做礼拜就坐在那儿的、
When you're coming to church, you're not just sitting there.
彼得说什么？我们每一个人都是君尊的祭司。
Peter said everyone is
noble priest. 我们每一个人都是神的祭司。
We're all a noble priests.
是很荣耀的身份。
It's a glorious
So, 记住啊，我们是每一个人呢，并没有说其中某个人或者某几个人才可以这样子。
Remember, this is for everyone.
所以这是我们的责任，也是我们的义务。
This is our responsibility and duty.
我们要记住，尼哥那一党人的教训，哪里哪个教会有这样的教训，这个教会就会软弱。
Whichever church has the Nicol, the lessons of the Nicolaitans, that church is weak.
其实很道理也很明白，如果只有少数人来服侍，其余人都在什么，只是为了来做礼拜而已的话，不祷告不服侍，他们就会什么，逐渐软弱。
And it makes sense because if only the few are serving the Lord, the others are not serving the Lord.
我们要建立神的家，神的教会是每一个基督徒的责任。
Building the Lord's home is every Christian's responsibility.
每一个人都有为其他的同工、其他的基督徒祷告的权利和责任。
We all have the right to pray and the responsibility to pray for each other.
所以我希望我们在座的每一位都有一颗基督徒有一个服侍的心、侍奉的心在神面前。
So I hope we all have the heart to serve the Lord.
能够用祷告来托住教会。
Using prayer to uphold the church.
来坚固彼此。
Strengthen each other.
那耶稣就通过这段这个书信呢，要劝诫别加摩的人要防备什么？第一，巴兰的教训；二是尼哥那一党人的教训。这教训呢非常重要。
So God wrote to the church in Pergamum about the lessons of Nicolaitan and the lessons of Balaam.
耶稣这里特别提到教训，也就是说，我们所传讲的在这里，我们所讲的。一定要符合神的话，神的符合圣经的话。我们所讲的要符合圣经的话。
What we say must follow the Bible.
如果你听到不合圣经的话语在我们中间
，If you hear words not from the Bible，
或违背圣经的教导
，or against what the Bible says，
你要怎么样呢
？What are you going to do？
你要提出来
，You must say it.
不可以让错误的教训在我们中间。
Cannot allow wrong teachings among us.
错误的教训会带领我们离开真道。
Wrong lessons will lead us off the path.
那怎么样你才能够辨别呢？因为这个世界上的，我就像刚才所说的，太多的什么？观点太多的什么这个看法容易迷惑我们。
So how do you discern the good teachings and the bad teachings?
那就是要多读圣经。
That answer is to read the Bible.
这也是为什么我们教会有什么很注重什么查经是吧，我们有礼拜四查经班，礼拜五查经班，我们礼拜天在讲什么，讲圣经。
That is why we focus on Bible studies, Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays.
特别是刚信主的弟兄姊妹们，你们要多读圣经。
Specifically for new Christians, you should read the Bible.
要明白圣经的教导。
And understand the teachings of the Bible.
那我们当中啊，来，我们当中教导的呢，也有责任什么？传讲圣经的话语。
And we should also spread the words of the Bible.
神说，如果你们要悔改，如果不悔改，我就要什么？我就要用口中的剑攻击你们。
God said, "You must repent. If you don't repent, I will use my sword. Otherwise, I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth."
所以我们要警醒。
So we must be alert.
那在这封书信最后有说什么？说，那得胜的，我必将什么隐藏的玛纳赐给他，并赐给他一块白石，石上写着新名。 第十七节，得胜的，我必将隐藏的玛纳赐给他，并赐他一块白石。
To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone.
那什么叫得胜呢？
What does it mean to overcome?
那我们就看前面的这个上下文啊。
We'll read more closely.
前面说什么？我们要什么？我们要离开巴兰的教训，是吗？我们要脱离黎格拉伊党人的教训。
第几节？
我们要这个离弃巴兰的教训和 和黎格拉伊党人的教训。
We must remember the teachings of the lessons of the Nicolaitans and Balaam.
你坚守了真道，你就得胜了。
If you hold the truth, you will overcome.
那神会不要把隐藏的玛纳赐给我们、
So God will give us the hidden manna.
那玛纳是什么？
What is manna?
是记不记得在旧约圣经里面，以色列人在旷野里面有吃的，对不对？
The Israelites in the mines in the Old Testament.
那每天那些小孩子就会问爸爸妈妈，明天吃什么？
The children will ask their parents, "What are we going to eat?"
就有点像 A B B 这个，我每天问我们明天吃什么啊
？It's like my children will ask, "What are we going to eat tomorrow?"
不光是想到明天，想今天晚上吃什么。
Think about what to eat tonight.
我以后就会说神必预备。
I would say God will prepare it for us.
当时的以色列人肯定说神会给我们，因为从天上降下来玛纳。
The Israelites will say God will provide us with food because the manna comes from.
玛纳就代表神赐给我们的生命的粮。
Mana represents God's food for us, spiritual food.
那这里又说赐下一块白石，然后石上写着新名。
It also says God will give us a white stone with a new name written on it.
这个白石到底是什么东西呢？
What is this white stone?
圣经上面有估计有二三十种不同解释。
There are 20 or 30 different interpretations of the white stone.
很难知道哪每一样好像似乎有点道理，但好像又没有道理。
All of them could make sense, but could not.
最后我的结论是什么呢
？Well, so my conclusion is this.
结论就是最后一句话：除了那领受的以外，没有人能认识。
My conclusion is from the Bible, known only to him who receives it.
我们不用去计较这些细节，这些这样不同这样不同的解释，因为有很多事情我们现在都不能明白。
We don't have to argue over these little details because there are many things we don't know.
我们知道，我们得胜，我们会得到什么？赏赐就够了。
We know that if we overcome, we will be rewarded.
所以这封书信给我们每一个人的启示是什么呢？用四个字来讲，就是我们要分别为圣。
So the revelations from this letter to the church in Pergamum is
separate us and be holy.
Separate,
分开。
Separate us and
be holy.
Be holy.
我们要什么？脱离世俗的教训和教导。
Move away from the secular views.
坚守主的名和主的道。
Uphold the Lord's teachings.
这就是别加摩教会的书信给我们现在基督徒的启示。
These are the revelations from the letter from the church in Pergamum.
让我们每一个基督徒能够真的做到。分别为圣
telling us that we all Christians must separate and be holy.
也让我们在座的每一个基督徒啊，做一个侍奉的人，得胜的人。
And telling every Christian to overcome and be happy.
好，我今天的分享就到这里。
That's all for today.
好。